Thanks for downloading ThistlePod. I'm Fiona Ritchie, and we use our podcasts to delve into our NPR programme archive to remember some of the people I've chatted with through the years. Jack Beck and Sarah Gray are traditional singers from Scotland and the US who have each lived and worked on both sides of the Atlantic, drawn along the way by their individual interests in ballads and the legacy of Scottish balladry in the US. Jack joined me on the Thistle and Shamrock to chat about how ballads travelled and changed in their journey across the ocean. Jack Beck is here to talk with me about the Scottish-American ballad connection, which is a very strong connection, Jack, and born from the great movement of people between Scotland and North America. Let's talk about that first and put everything in a historical perspective for people. Lots of people from Scotland travelling from Scotland, often through Ulster, before eventually settling in the eastern United States.
That's right. We hear a lot about the Scottish-Irish, and I really didn't know much about that. In fact, I'd never really heard the expression until I went over to the States myself. In fact, it wasn't until I went over to Tennessee the first time. It's not an expression I heard used up in Maine particularly, where which was the first part of the States I went over to in the late 80s. But when I went to Tennessee, I heard the expression quite a lot, and I wasn't sure what it meant. Mm-hmm. And it was only then when I sort of started going into it and discovered that, yes, an awful lot of them had used Ulster as a bouncing off point. There were historical reasons for that. And I think I'm right in saying that in a lot of cases, the first generation went from Scotland to Ulster, and then the next generation, they moved on and went to the States. So, you know, people whose parents were Scots, but who were born in the north of Ireland.
We're talking about in the 1700s, thereabouts. And my understanding is that many of them came in through the port of Philadelphia, and then Pennsylvania, having already been heavily settled by German people, they had to move further and further south, and they settled all along the eastern slopes of the Appalachians and into places, the Virginias and the Carolinas, primarily Georgia.
And of course, there's lots of Scots who went directly. You know, they didn't all go through Ulster, but they tend to be, there tends to be a fairly blanket reference, I think, to Scotch-Irish. But I've found all sorts of interesting connections across there. They're really very intriguing. And of course, I think there's hardly a town or a city in the States that doesn't have a pipe band. So you see a lot more people wearing kilts than necessarily would have Scots blood.
And why not? Absolutely. One of the things I found interesting was that the Scots-Irish or Scotch-Irish, Ulster Scots, who were primarily from the lowlands of Scotland, they tended to settle up in the mountains and the hills of the Virginias and Carolinas, whereas the Highland Scots, just by virtue of when they came over and the land that was available and what they needed to do, tended to settle in the flat eastern part of North Carolina. One thing we're able to do is almost trace the movement of people through the music that they brought with them. They travelled over from Scotland or from Ulster with very little in the way of possessions, but an awful lot in the way of culture, songs, stories, dances. Yeah. And that's the clue, really, as to where these folks settled. And I think many Americans might be surprised to learn just how many ballads that you think of as almost being traditional American ballads actually originated in Scotland. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Tom Burton, who at some point may well be listening to this, and if you are, hello, Tom. Tom Burton recently retired from East Tennessee State University, and one of the programs that he still runs, but I mean, he started it, was a comparative study of Appalachian and Scots music and traditions and song. And he recently wrote a paper called The Lion's Share. And in it, he went through all the collections of ballads that had been made in southern Appalachia over the last, 100 years. And out of the top 10, 7 were Scottish. And the top 3 were Scottish. And I can't remember what the first one was, but the number 2 in the list was one called The Gypsy Laddie.
Oh, the gypsies come to our hot door, and oh, but they sang bonnie, oh, They sang, say neat and say complete. They stole the heart of a lady, oh. Lady Castle, she come down the stair with all her maids afore her, oh. And when they spied her wilful face, they cast the glamour out her, oh. Oh, which ye'll cast off your fine silken goon, and ye'll bet on your plighty, oh, and ye'll travel on this lee-lang day fully away the gypsy laddies, oh. And will ye gie up your pussies and your land, and will ye gie up your baby, oh? Will ye gie up your ain wedded lord, take fully away the gypsy laddies, oh? Oh, it's I'll gie up my pussies and my land, and I'll gie up my baby, oh. And it's I'll gie up my ain wedded lord, take fully away the gypsy laddies, oh. When Lord Castle he come home at e'en, he was spearing for his lady, oh. Oh, the ane did cry, and the other didn't reply. She's away the gypsy lies, oh. Gay saddle to me the bonny, bonny black, for the burn was ne'er sae speedy, oh. And I'll, when I walk this lee-lang night, to seek for my wanton lady, oh. Last night I slept in a fine feather bed, wi' my ain great lord beside me, oh. But the nicht I'm in lie in a cauld burn shed, in the arms o' my gypsy laddie, oh. Now here at east, and here at west, and here at take a cordio, and there he spied his ain wanton lass, and the arms o' the gypsy laddie, oh. Now there were 7 gypsies all in a row, and oh, but we sang bonnie, oh. But the nicht will be high hangit frae a tree for the stealing o' Lord Castle's lady.
When you go into the history, I mean, it's supposedly about a Lady Castles, spelled C-A-S-S-I-L-I-S, and she did exist, but the gypsy that she's supposed to have run away with was the famous Johnny Farr, who was the great legendary king of the Scots gypsies. Now, unfortunately, if you then compare when they both lived, she would have been about 5 years old. So it's, you know...
Unlikely.
It's, like a lot of these things, probably what we'll have here are 2 separate incidents, not involving the same people that have been brought together into one song. That frequently happened in ballads, particularly Scots ballads, which didn't come from the continent, which were actually, you know, which started in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice to think that it was a, you know, just simply as it's described in the song, a true story. But I think it's probably a bit of an amalgam.
Black Jack, did he come riding by, whistling so gaily, made the woods all around him ring.
charm the heart of a lady, charm the heart of a lady. Will you go with me, my pretty little miss? Go with me, my honey. Swear by the beard upon my chin, you'll never want for money. You'll never want for money. Oh, Lord of the castle, come riding home, a-looking for his lady. Servant spoke before she thought, she's gone with the blackjack baby. Gone with the blackjack baby. Go saddle me up my milk-white steed, the black one's not so speedy. I rode all night, I ride all day, I'll overtake my lady, I'll bring home my lady. He rode all.
The interesting thing too is if you listen to the two versions here, the Scots and the American versions, in the Scots one, if you listen at the, towards the beginning, there's a reference to the gypsy laddie casting the glamour over her. In other words, putting a spell on her. You don't find that in the American versions. There's a kind of magic side to the original ballad, which you do not find in the American ones. They're much more down to earth.
It's, right.
You know, he doesn't need to cast any glamour over her. The spell is in the guy's sheer, you know, he's definitely tall, dark and handsome. That's all it takes.
She's pulled off those long black boots made of Spanish leather, gave to him her lily white hand, but said goodbye forever, said goodbye forever. Oh, would you leave your house and home? Would you leave your baby? Would you leave your wedded lord to ride with the blackjack baby? Ride with the blackjack baby. Last night I slept on a warm feather bed between my husband and baby. Tonight I'll stay on the cold, cold ground in the arms of blackjack baby. The arms of blackjack baby.
Well, that was a very different version of Blackjack Davy, but you know, you can recognise something of the story in there. The narrative of the song is still in there, but it's a lot. It's much more, I think, much more down to earth, and I suppose, in fact, there's no supposing about it. Clearly, these songs, the way they're presented and the way they develop, have a lot to do with the way people are living, and you know, the influences on their lives at that time. Remember that the original version was written, if you like, you know, hundreds of years earlier, when the levels of education and all the rest of it were different. People's attitudes to morals and to the supernatural were very different. Once they got to America, they were dealing with much, you know, more down to earth matters, I think, and that affected the way they presented things.
Yes.
And of course, other people from other parts of the world, and other parts of Europe in particular, the Old World, also all arrived at the same time, and they were all bouncing off each other. So there are all sorts of influences. By the time you get to Blackjack Davy, there are lots of other cultures that have had a go at it.
Yeah.
And I think I wouldn't describe one as being better than the other in any way at all. They are very different.
A journey, really, musical journey.
We're
talking with Jack Beck about the Scottish-American ballad connection and having a chance there to hear what happens to a ballad that starts in Scotland as Gypsy Laddie and travels to Appalachia, I suppose, primarily with Blackjack Davy. Jack, I suppose one thing we can get from talking about these ballads and their origins and what happened to them when they met the States is just a tremendous sense of how resilient this tradition is. The ballads have continued in Scotland pretty much unchanged from these original forms. They've travelled to the United States. People have picked them up, as you say, blended them with other influences, used them in ways that make sense to them, you know, in the mountains of North Carolina, wherever they lived in the 18th, 19th centuries. The music and the tradition has sustained, regardless of the march of progress in so many other areas. Why do you think that is?
Oh, I suppose because something in these songs still speaks to people. you know, either directly because they can relate it to something, you know, real in their lives, or a sense of the romance in it appeals to them as well. So that, you know, sometimes people will sing songs, sometimes they'll sing songs to kids, to children, because there is a very strong moral message in the songs. That's certainly how they were often used originally back on this side of the water, and I'm sure that still continued. But sometimes they don't change an awful lot. That's the surprising thing too. I think, again, it was 3 or 4 years ago when I went over to Tennessee. I was shown a video of a wonderful old retired coal miner called Nimrod Workman. And when the video was made, I mean, he died in his, well, I think he was about 90, or in his 90s, I think, when he died, not that terribly long ago. And the video was, I mean, he was getting on a bit even in the video. And he sang a very full version of a ballad called Lord Bateman, or as he described them, Lord Baseman, which I thought was wonderful. And he sang this ballad straight to camera, and there was hardly a word changed from the versions that you would hear over here. Sometimes the songs would be handed on down very preciously, like an old grandfather clock or something, which is looked after and, you know, polished and kept as it was. But sometimes they're taken apart and rebuilt into something more usable and more relevant to modern times.
Me and my man's pap, we all live down Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. Oh, all on down Cumberland Gap. Lay down, boys, take a little nap, Lord, raise hell in Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. Oh, hold on down, Cumberland Gap. I got a man in Cumberland Gap, and I got a kid that calls him Pap. Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap.
From our radio archives, Peggy Seeger and Cumberland Gap, we were joined by Jack Beck, who introduced songs by himself and Sarah Gray. At thistleradio.com, you'll find a playlist of this Thistle Pod. NPR's The Thistle and Shamrock airs radio like this each week. Find out how to tune in to public radio or hear an audio stream on the web at thistleradio.com. Thistle Radio is on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Fiona Ritchie. Thanks for joining me.